here is Jason Bell. Good evening, Jason.
You hear we gone up. We gone up another level there, Ken. We got intro song and everything, man. How you keep it, sir? How you keep it?
You win that one, man. Good luck with that, bro, man. Man, take that one. You win that one, man.
We up in the thing all the time, man. And we're living for the health of it in association with the Diabetes Association of Barbados. The voice you heard just now is the inimitable Ken Husband, and I'm Jason Bell. And in on the call this evening, again on the Zoom, is President of the Diabetes Association of Barbados, Ms. Trudy Griffith. How are you doing, Trudy?
Good evening, Jason. I'm wonderful. What about you?
I learned how to unmute the mic at the beginning of the call. We're learning new skills every day. Getting 1% better every day.
Listen.
All right. So,
that's 1%.
Thing, you know, all the announcers of you'll be really good at this Zoom thing. You know, Larry Mears in on it too, you know. My, the old boy there, man.
Well, praise the Lord. We are all about growth and development. And learning how to do things better, because we're not living flippantly, but we're living for the health of it.
That's right.
So Trudy, today we are talking about an area where a lot of us can learn and improve. And we're hoping to have our special guest in on the call very shortly. But we're talking about a subject that I will admit that I'm a bit weak in, and that is nutrition. Now, I'm the kind of person that likes to work off my calories. So like this evening, I was at George Park. I live here in the Valley St. George. And I was at George Park, spending my life away, doing abs crunches and all sorts of weird exercises, letting my dear friend Nicholas torture me in order to burn the calories that I would have worked on. But half the work, as a matter of fact, he said to me, 80% of the work in terms of weight loss and managing your health is in your nutrition. So you could run all but the park, you could run up and down to St. George Secondary, primary school, all over the place. But if you don't eat well, you won't see the results that you want internally or externally. So Trudy, yeah, with that bit of a review of myself, I think I combed on myself a bit much there. Introduce the subject for the evening, nutrition.
Yes, there was so much that you captured in your comments there. I don't even think that 45 minutes would give me sufficient time to really address everything that you just shared with our listening audience. So therefore, let's move directly into our topic. One of the things that we need to recognize when you're living with diabetes, or you're living in a household with someone who has diabetes, or working with someone who has diabetes, is nutrition or your diet. What you put in your mouth, you know, it is amazing how much food that we consume, but contrast that with the number of persons who go hungry. We have sufficient food across the world that we could feed everybody comfortably. Yet some of us are eating a bit more than others. So therefore, we need to start looking at that in a very serious way. When we look at our statistics as it relates to diabetes, they have continued to rise. And I know that COVID-19 has really brought this to the fore in terms of non-communicable diseases and the relationship between NCDs and COVID-19. Yeah. I know during our local experience with COVID-19, that nutrition really became a watchword, because we would have had restrictions on access to supermarkets and leaving home, etc. And therefore, a lot of persons really had to look seriously at their diet, because it wasn't a simple matter of dashing out to the supermarket or the corner mart or wherever and getting something to eat. You really had to start planning ahead. And while I know that some persons might have made a transition and they have now embraced that fully, there's still some persons who perhaps are struggling in terms of what to eat, how much to eat, etc. And therefore, we have started this evening to look at that topic. We have with us a clinical dietitian. Her name is Carrie-Anne Best, and Carrie-Anne has also done some postgraduate training in diabetes. So she is very much on board in terms of sharing of her knowledge and her expertise as it relates to nutrition and diabetes. Welcome, Carrie-Anne.
Hello. Hi, Trudy.
Happy to have you on the show, Carrie-Anne.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Perhaps we can begin our discussion this evening. And yes, 45 minutes may not be enough, and we're already 5 minutes into the program, but perhaps a definition of diet versus perhaps nutrition would be useful. Right behind me, you'll notice that I have a whiteboard. Literally, over the course of the series, I've been updating my whiteboard with a glossary of terms. Truly, we need to work on this project a little
bit
more.
We definitely need to work on this. COVID-19 has taken away so much time from us because we have to really make sure that we keep all Barbadians safe. But Jason, we are going to commit that we are going to get this done.
Absolutely. So perhaps, Carrie-Anne, you can start with... Ken?
Yes, good evening, Carrie-Anne.
Hello.
This is Ken here. I'm pleased that you are a dietitian and that you're on the show. And I just want all of your comments to be directed. If you want to be, really on to Jason Bell, he needs a diet. Listen, the poor fellow needs a dietitian. So just say Jason, you know. So.
Okay, I will try to do that.
And thank you for coming, ma'am.
No problem.
Remember, listeners, this program is not just the four of us here bantering back and forth. You are also welcome to join us by calling 434-1790 or WhatsApping us 266-IDOB. That's 266-4862 with your questions, your comments, your criticisms even. I'm open to criticism. And I'm willing to hear from you, Carrie, now. Diet, nutrition. Tell us.
Okay, so Jason asked two important questions. What is diet and what is nutrition? So when we say diet, it's basically our eating pattern, what we choose to eat on a regular basis. So it can be influenced by a lot of things like our culture determines our diet, our religious practices, our belief systems, and even our stages in life. So it's how you choose to eat on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
And nutrition, on the other hand, by definition, is a science. So it focuses on the study of food, nutrients, and health. So diet is involved with nutrition. So they coexist together, but diet is how you choose to eat on a regular basis. And nutrition is the study of food and how it affects your general health.
Excellent. I assume that you work with people like myself who are carrying a lot extra weight. You may be working with people who are carrying a little extra weight. Maybe you even work with people who are underweight. But could you please give us a couple of considerations for those who are living with diabetes? We like to use our terms carefully. We don't like to say suffering from diabetes or who have diabetes, but people who are living with diabetes, because we acknowledge that, hey, this is a condition, it's a serious condition that left unchecked can lead to serious damage to your body, but we can live well with diabetes. Tell us why nutrition is important and why it is important, especially for those of us who are living with diabetes and perhaps those of us who love those who are living with diabetes.
Okay, so nutrition is an important topic for everyone, especially those persons who are living with diabetes. So what we eat can influence our blood sugar, our blood glucose level. So it's good to have a good meal plan. Even the portion control is important with diabetes, how much we choose to eat. Also utilizing different methods of portion control, the plate method is important. Even the spacing of our meals is tied in with good nutrition. And also including adequate nutrient-dense foods that are nutrient-dense compared to calorie-dense. So when you have food that will be calorie-dense, those are the extra calories to our diet compared to foods that are nutrient-dense will add the extra nutrients to our diet. So it's very important, the link between controlling our diabetes and what we eat is a very important link. So it is good to have diabetes guidelines, which include healthy or healthful eating patterns.
Carrie-Anne, would you please remind Jason what is calorie dense foods and sugary foods, etc. You know, say all those things that Jason would easy mental consumption for Jason. Calorie dense foods.
Yeah, you got to break it down to bite.
Oh yeah.
The next question is going to ask. So what's a calorie and what's a nutrient?
Okay. So when I say nutrients, these are basically chemical substances that are found in food. So these are substances that help our body. It helps with growth and good health. And when I say calories, think of calories as energy. So it's a unit of energy. When you eat food, eventually it provides energy for the body. So think of calorie as the energy that is a byproduct of the food that we eat. So nutrients are the substances in food, and when it's digested, it produces, the other end product will be calories. We get calories from the foods that we eat.
So when I talk about going on George Park and running around and doing ab crunches and all sorts of weird things, energy is being burnt and therefore calories are being burnt. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, but Jason, think about it. If you're eating calorie dense foods, which is what Carrie-Anne is saying, you have to expend a whole lot of energy to burn off those calories. And a lot of persons think, oh, I'm just going to eat this and, you know, I'll just go to gym tomorrow. But when you really sit down and look at the science behind it and how much energy you have to expend to burn off those calories, you would be amazed.
That's slightly depressing, to be honest, because if you're saying to me that a whole intense, let's say, most of us going to the gym, if we are going, or maybe if we exercise on the road, maybe 1-2 hours a day at most, and then you're saying that all of those calories burned can be negated or canceled out or even added onto by one series or one single meal. Or even a snack, because I mean, there's some real sweet snacks. I have a bit of a sweet tooth, and you're saying that with so I want to reward myself after a tough workout with something sweet and nice, and you're saying that I could just wipe out all of my gains with that one meal. Wow, that's amazing.
Yes,
I'm kind of depressing actually. Yeah.
Techna.
You see why it's eat broccoli and celery tent? I got to keep up with this thing, you know.
Why lots of broccoli?
I gotta make sure that I have my nutrient dense foods that are not calorie dense.
And don't forget the carrot strips. Don't forget the carrot strips. Oh,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
When you're watching television, the carrot strips. You know. And
I've been watching Food Network. I try to stay away from the shows that add so much butter to everything.
And Carrie-Anne would allow you a glass of wine or two. Would you please, Carrie-Anne, a glass of wine or two? We're going to eat lots of celeries and cabbage and all them sort of things. Rabbit food, you know, we're going to rob the rabbits. Eat lots of rabbit food, but we need, please, a glass or two of wine. How is that with you, ma'am? Madam nutritionist.
Okay, so There are limits to how much you should drink. We recommend at most, if you do choose to drink, 2 drinks maximum for males and 1 for females. So,
Oh, dear.
That's what we recommend.
Two servings
for males.
2 servings of alcohol, but that doesn't mean that you can drink as much as you want to, or you're not going to stop drinking until you see the bottom of the bottle, right, Ken?
I was just about to jump in and say, define the serving, because a serving for me might not be the same. Well, I'm certain a serving for me is not the same as a serving for Ken. I won't say who serving is big enough. I don't want to embarrass my coffee on national radio. But I know a serving for one person is different from a serving for another person.
But I just want to quickly remind.
Let Carrie-Anne explain what a serving is, so that we understand the difference between the serving that Ken has in his head and the serving that Jason has in his head.
So for, if you're still talking about alcoholic beverages.
We don't know why, absolutely. Because I just want to remind you, Kerrie, that William Shakespeare said, take deep draughts of this precious cup, for it shall last but yet a while. Deep draughts, you know what I mean?
I was thinking about the Bible verse about drinking a little wine for the worm.
Paul and Timothy? Go ahead, ahead.
Carry on, you go ahead. Let me not address Ken just yet.
Okay, so example would be if you're talking about alcohol, I don't drink, but in general, it would be a beer with one bottle, one beer would be considered a serving of alcohol.
Okay.
Yes.
I suppose for the harder stuff, you will need to be even more judicious in terms of your serving size. So you're looking at maybe an ounce of hard liquor, or maybe correct. A glass, a small 8-ounce glass of wine, or something like that. That counts as one serving. As correct. A man, I get slightly more than a lady.
Correct.
All right. Fair enough. You're listening to For the Health of It in association with the Diabetes Association of Barbados. I'm Jason Bell. And with us on the line, along with the president of the Diabetes Association of Barbados, Trudy Griffith, is Kerrie Ann. What's your last name again, Kerrie Ann?
Kerrie Ann Bess.
Bess. You're the best nutritionist and dietitian in the island, if I just feel myself. Or maybe I'm just using an alliteration so I will remember. You don't have to say that you're the best. You will say, for the purpose of this program, you're the best dietitian in the land. So, all right, Ken, do we have any WhatsApp messages coming through?
Not as yet, my dear friend. Privately right, or no personally. Not as yet. I will keep you posted. Fair not.
Fair enough. All right. So let's continue with our discussion, Trudy. And you can go ahead and lead it. I mean, we've had a good start so far talking about calories, nutrient-dense foods and calorie-dense foods, and also alcohol, because this is Barbados as well. But yeah, so please carry on, Trudy, with our discussion for this evening.
Right. So while Ken steered us into the alcohol discussion for his personal edification,
and for mine too, okay.
Go ahead, Trudy. Go ahead, Trudy.
I will steer it back towards food for a moment. Yes, Ken.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I want to steer it back to food for a moment, because we talked about serving size within the context of alcohol, but we really need to appreciate it within the context of food. So, Kerrie Ann, explain to us what is a serving when it comes to the foods that we eat.
Okay, so there's servings and there are portions. So if we are talking about portions, it's what we choose to eat. A serving is what is recommended, where a portion is what we choose to eat. So it varies from person to person. So for instance, let me just give you some examples of portions. If you're talking about staples or fruit, that would be the size of the fist of your hand. Your fist, if you make a fist with your hand, that would be considered a portion for a fruit or staples. And if you have your hands open wide, and both hands, that would be a serving for vegetables. You like to get more vegetables in. And the palm of your hand, so excluding the finger part, the palm of your hand, for everyone's hand is a different size. If you just look at the palm of your hand, that would be a portion for meat. And then the tip of your tongue for oils and fat. The tip of the tongue would consider a portion for oils and fats.
That's a good rule of little thumb. You would appreciate that my hand, and I was making all the motions with my hands there. Trudy, you held your nerves by not laughing. My hand, my fist, my thumb, maybe not as big as Ken's, but certainly it's bigger than the average beer. And so therefore, that's a good rule of thumb. So just go over that again. Your starch or your fruit should be no bigger than your fist. Your vegetables can be as big as two of my hands, right. Is what you're saying. My meat should be no bigger than my palm. And then if I'm eating any butter or any sauces, with fat in it. It should be no more than my thumb, is what you're saying?
Correct.
Correct. And you mean my entire thumb or just like the first?
No, I try to get some anatomy words here, but the first bank.
Joint. The first joint.
Correct. Correct.
I'll try my best to stick to that going forward. That's a useful thing to me. I don't mind vegetables, right? My challenge is we live in a society where we enjoy our carbs. So, you know, the typical Sunday meal, mm-hmm. rice and peas, macaroni pie. Mm-hmm. My mother made a mean sweet potato pie. I have a friend that made excellent corn pie. And we want to add all those. Oh, and don't talk about potato salad, because you know it's a salad, so it doesn't count.
Of course.
Upside down pineapple pie. Upside down pineapple cake.
And, oh yes, of course. No Sunday meal is complete without a wonderful dessert. But the challenge is that we eat like that a little more every day now. And
yes.
we don't nearly do as much physical labor as certainly not as much as my grandmother or even my dad does. And so therefore, where's all this energy go? It literally wears on our body and hurts us on the inside as well as on the outside. And therefore, that's where you'll see a preponderance of diabetes.
Word. Good choice of a word. Good Lord. I haven't heard that word for a long time.
I'm trying, sir. I'm trying to follow all the bad words.
Good Lord. Very good. Very good.
Well, actually, Jason, I want to bring this back to how our bodies function a little bit. When you consume all of that food, when you consume all of those starches, all of those carbohydrates, you're actually forcing your body to work harder to keep your blood sugars within a normal range. And if Correct. Your body cannot keep up, that's when your blood sugar levels are going to rise. And when your body reaches a point where it can't keep up, guess what? Diabetes steps in.
Yeah, you're working your pancreas too hard, and therefore
you're working your pancreas way too hard. And the thing about it is, if you don't need all of that, if you don't need all of those calories, based on how much physical activity that you're engaged in on a daily basis, all that's going to happen, your body is going to be forced to store it as fat.
Right.
It's quite interesting that we have a number of persons across the length and breadth of Barbados who think that if they consume all of that, because you know you're satisfying your sweet tooth, or you know you just can't resist it because it's there and it's very attractive, and you think that once you eat it, once you drink water after that, you wash it out. That is an absolute myth. It does.
Or drink a diet cola afterwards.
You understand? It is amazing. We are really putting our bodies under some serious pressure.
Yeah, we really are. Please tell us, Carrie Ann Beth, mm-hmm. how can we cope with that reality or that realization? But we still like what we like, you know what I mean? You don't want to, eating, as you said earlier, is, and diet is a social thing. So you don't want to be that person at the family gathering or the social gathering that is limiting themselves to thing and eating off the side, you know, so that nobody can make fun of them. It can be a very personal thing. It can be very tied up in our minds and our concept of ourselves. And therefore, how can we, I don't want to use the word fit in. Is it possible that like that same serving size, that fit, maybe we can satisfy mm-hmm. a bit of that fit to the pie and a little piece to the rice and a,
it all comes down to portion control. It all comes down to portion control. And I don't know if this, but we're even talking about our healthy plate. Was that mentioned before?
We haven't talked about that yet. And I don't want to go there just yet. But Jason, I just want to address the comment you just made. Just because if you're living with diabetes, it's not a matter that we are penalizing you for that. Everything that we have shared so far in terms of portions and servings applies to every single person who is living and breathing on the face of this earth. Really and truly, when you have been diagnosed with diabetes and we start hammering into you, please stick to this. it's really and truly getting back to where you should have been in the first place.
Correct.
Because if you have been eating in a very healthy way your entire life, the likelihood of you being diagnosed with diabetes is going to be minimal. I'm not saying that it's zero, because things can happen. But certainly what we are talking about is applicable to every single person. No exemptions.
So especially with the type 2 diabetes, which is proven to be lifestyle related, you can vastly reduce your chances of developing type 2 diabetes. And if you do have that type 2 diabetes, you can reduce the chances of morbidities and such yes. complications if you eat well and eat right and eat in yes. proper portion control. But we will get back to that at your
right. We can get back there, but I just want to add in one comment here. There are a lot of persons out there who may be of the opinion diabetes can be reversed. And yes, they have done studies. There's done one in the UK. We've actually done one here in Barbados as well. What did they do? They restricted the number of calories that you consumed.
It was awful. But I made it through.
What you're saying is was a serious adjustment. That's what you meant, right, Jason?
I don't like to use the word reverse. I like to use control. You're able to manage it. If you go back to your normal way of eating and you regain the weight, start exercising, it comes back. So it has it's better control when you watch your portions, but you have to keep at it. You have to control what you eat and you have to maintain a healthy body weight. So some people are able to manage with diet and exercise, but it has to be something, it has to be a lifestyle change.
So Carrie, follow up now with telling us about the healthy plate, because now I want persons to understand the lay of the land. What we are sharing with you is for everybody, not just for those persons who are living with diabetes.
So we're going to talk a bit about your what we call the healthy plate. So if you imagine, and remember, we're in TV on radio land, so you can't show your plate, but you can imagine a plate. And what we're going to do is to divide that plate into half. And then we divide one of those halves into quarters. So what the healthy plate concept is that you make half your plate vegetables. So you place things like broccoli, zucchini, cabbage, or carrots.
Is corn a vegetable?
That is a starchy vegetable. So that won't go on the half.
What was
that, Jason? Yes, so that won't go on the half that I'm talking about.
I missed that. What was that, Jason?
I asked if corn was a vegetable. I was also going to cheekily ask for your sake, Ken, if cassava was a vegetable.
Yeah, I wish you would. Cassava, I just love cassava.
So those are starches, what we call starchy vegetables. Those are starches. So that won't go. So what I'm talking about is non-starchy vegetables. So that's what we have to get more of in our diet.
Your salads and your steamed veg and your stir-fried veg, that sort of thing.
Right. And then the quarter will be where your starch will be. So your cassava will go in that quarter section, and your breadfruit and your yam, whatever you like, your rice, preferably high fiber options of starches, your brown rice, your whole wheat pasta, your breadfruit, your yam, you know, in Barbados.
I have my hand up because I just want to warn Greg, Gregson and Jason, that when you are stir-frying your vegetables, you have to select your oil.
Very carefully. You showed us how much oil we should use.
Not only how much oil, as in the quantum oil, but it is like the type of oil you use. Recommend a particular type of oil. We don't want to give too many advertisements out there. But your particular type of oil is very, very, very good. You know, like grapeseed oil, for instance, that's said to be a good oil.
So we're looking for oils with monounsaturated and polyunsaturated fats.
Right.
Things like olive oil, we have to be careful with heating olive oil, smoke point, because you don't want to smoke at the house. So that's good for stir frying, because you don't heat it for too long. And you could do a little bit, not too much, and you could stir fry with that if you so desire. And then the other quarter of your plate would be your lean cuts of protein, your baked chicken, your steamed fish or grilled fish, or if you have some vegetarians out there.
You're lean. This girl is mean. She's mean. She said you're lean.
Cuts of protein.
I mean, good Lord.
Lean cuts of protein.
She's mean, Jason.
Because I'm just going to ask you about the people that like South, Ken.
Yeah, put the South and Saunders, you know what I mean? I mean, she may not even want to deal with putting in the South because of religious restrictions. But
these are serious questions you're asking, Ken, because, again, our diet is within a lot of cultural context and, yes, even a religious context. So our Muslim friends would not consider eating pork, or Adventist friends as well. We have some folks who are pescatarians. They would eat only fish and other things. There's folks who are vegan for whatever reason. God help them. But whatever. I mean, no judgment here. No judgment zone for the health of it. But you were also mentioning the vegetarian or vegan options as protein.
Correct. So those would be our lentils, our peas, our beans. Those are good protein sources that will be considered vegan, as you said, or vegetarian options. And it's nice, you could do it once a week or so. If you're not vegan or vegetarian, you could still try some vegetarian dishes. I try it sometimes. It's nice to eat.
I have a colleague who practices what she calls Meatless Mondays. Meatless Mondays.
So that's something you could look into. It's nothing if you like to do that, you could try that.
You're listening to For the Health of It in association with the Diabetes Association of Barbados. The lovely voice, and well, I get to see the face, you get to hear the voice, is Terri-Ann Best, certified dietitian. And alongside Ken in the studio, I'm here, Jason Bell in the Valley. And Trudy Griffith is there in her presentation mode. I wish you guys could see how professional she looks. She looks like the weather woman. I think the only thing that's missing now is the hurricane track now to tell you that the wind will be coming from the east-northeast at 35 miles per hour with higher gusts and near showers and all the rest of it. Anyway. Again, a little bit carried away there.
Looking at Trudy's beauty, trying to absorb it, you must get carried away. And then when you add that to Carrie-Anne's, good dear.
And from my perspective, I'm in the top left of my screen on Zoom, and you are in the top right, and the ladies are laying the foundation at the bottom.
We carry on, and Trudy, you got yourself a plethora of beauty.
A plethora of beauty to balance out the other stuff that we bring on the program. Oh, gosh. Anyway, we always like to have fun, and we always invite you listeners to call 430-1790 or 266-4862, so 434-1790 rather. 434-1790.
No calls as yet.
I think they're listening and enjoying.
Listening attentively, yes. That is good also. Okay.
In the few minutes we have remaining, I want Trudy and Terri-Ann to just go on and tell us about the other considerations.
Well, I will say this, based on the topic that we have started this evening, we are not going to cover everything we want to share with
Impossible.
You.
Impossible.
So there's just one more question that I'm going to pose to Carrie-Anne and Jason, and Ken, you can join in. Our listeners can also call in and ask us about this. But when it comes to diabetic food, this has emerged on the scene in the last few years. And it has literally taken over to the point where persons are of the opinion that as long as you have been diagnosed with diabetes, the food that you consume has to be different. It has to be bland tasting. It can't contain any sugar, and the whole nine yards behind that. So Carrie-Anne, I don't want to comment because I might lean in a very particular direction. So please address that from your professional expertise.
Okay, so there's no need necessary to buy special food items for diabetes. As you said, Trudy, before, a healthy eating plan is a healthy eating plan. So what someone with diabetes can eat, someone without can eat. We're eating healthy, you're watching your portions, you're watching your meal timings. So once you get adequate amount of nutrients and you're eating healthful, you should be fine. So it's no need to go there and look for a special product that says diabetic food. You look for general healthy diet is what we recommend for persons with diabetes. Get your foods that are high in fiber, your lean protein, your fruits and vegetables in the right portions, and you should be fine. So no need to explain to yourself or to worry too much about getting diabetic food, as they like to call it.
It really does, Carrie-Anne, because I find that persons definitely have this opinion, and I know that it is through decades of persons hammering this to you that as long as you have been diagnosed with diabetes, you are now restricted. You are now to be denied foods. And as Caribbean people, we have been accustomed to very calorie-dense foods. And therefore, it's a serious shift. And therefore, what I say to persons, you are not restricted in what you can eat, but you have to be careful how much of it you eat.
So and how often?
Oh my goodness. There are some persons, I mean, sometimes they feel so restricted that it's just like they put themselves on this very strict meal plan. And then when the craving hits, all hell breaks loose. And then you're literally in a worse position than when you started. And you're trying to ensure that persons are more disciplined in terms of how they approach their health, including their diet. And therefore, it will not feel as though you are restricted. It's a matter that you are getting back to where you ought to be. And I just want to add one final comment there, because I do want to share some additional information with you. Water, water, water. Please consume water. Carrie-Anne, please share some comments about that.
Correct. So that is one of the most important nutrients. The body needs
water. Water is a nutrient. Oh, good Lord.
Yes, because it's needed by the body. Ain't it? It's needed by the body in large amounts in compared to other nutrients. So water is very important. It acts as a lubricant. It helps us with producing tears, lubricate our eyes. It helps us even regulate our temperatures. So if you're outside,
I was just about to raise that point on regulating temperature. Today was a scorcher, especially in the afternoon. And I have my trusty 20-ounce bottle right here. I fill this up to 8 times a day. So roughly 160 ounces of water go into my 20.
And I can trust you. I can trust you, Jason, that white liquid in there is water.
It's water. It's H2O. There's no other clear liquid in here. It's a good question to answer in the affirmative. This is water. And I'm saying to you that whereas other folk will be suffering because of the extreme heat that we are experiencing this time of year, with water, you actually have a chance. It helps to produce sweat, which helps cool your body down. And it helps you with your brain as well. It helps with your brain as well. If you consume too little water, you find that you start feeling hungry, you start getting irritable, and you want, and all that is because your brain is starting to soak up the water that's in your body, trying to keep functioning, and therefore other functions start to shut down a little bit. So water, guys, water.
Yes, that is a phenomenal point that you've just made, Jason. So I'll just wrap up on the nutrition discussion for this evening and just share some very good news with you. So this is of particular benefit for our membership. We just received a donation from Goddard Enterprises Limited of face masks.
Yay!
Yes, we have. So obviously COVID-19 is not behind us. And we have been advised by the government of Barbados to continue to follow those guidelines that have been put out there to ensure the safety of all citizens and the visitors that we have welcomed to our shores in recent days. So therefore, if you are a registered member of the Diabetes Association of Barbados, you can visit our office and you can receive free face masks. So therefore, this is of particular interest to those persons who still have to go about their business, conduct errands, etc. So you can take a cool stroll, you can take the bus, you can drive, and you can collect your free pack of 10 face masks. It's a small token from us to you through the kind donation of Goddard Enterprises Limited.
Yes, indeed. And we want to remind the listeners and the members that the Diabetes Association of Barbados is located at Jessamine Court, corner of Jessamine Avenue and Beckles Road, there in St. Michael. So you just get off, if you catch any bus, get off by the light and take a cool walk over to Diabetes Association of Barbados headquarters. You can call ahead 423-427-9338. You can call or WhatsApp them as well at 230-2975. And if you need to send an email to say, this show is great, or Ken is great on Marley, you know, you can send an email to DAB408. Here you come. DAB408@gmail.com.
I will treat that as a sotto voce.
So, Jason, just to follow up on what you just said, a few weeks ago, I would have mentioned that we are going to be reaching out to our listeners so that they can give us some feedback on the program. So this survey is completed, and from tomorrow, it's going to be available on our platforms. So therefore, look out for that. We have this survey. It's going to be open until the end of this month. So I want you to go and complete that survey for us so that we can continue to bring you the information that you want to hear about diabetes.
We're continually upping the thing here with the Diabetes Association of Barbados as we continue to live and love for the health of it. We want to thank Carrie Ann, the best dietitian in the Barbados for the purpose of this conversation.
Thank you, Carrie Ann.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carrie Ann.
And we want to thank, obviously, the president of the Diabetes Association Barbados for her continual leadership and energy into making this program what it is. We're out of time for now. Ken, we can link back up for lyrical interpretations, but for now, let's continue to live and love for the health of it.